Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today we're going to continue our interview with Dr. Robert Eckel. Last time, we discussed the problem with legalizing recreational marijuana, but today we're going to shift gears and discuss health and dieting. Here now is Dr. James Dobson on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, Dr. Eckel, last time you and Dr. Meeker and I talked about marijuana use and the implications of it for physical health and cognitive health as well. Let's leave that subject behind today, and I want to talk to you about an area that you are, I believe, to be the foremost authority on, having to do with lipids or fat metabolism and cardiovascular disease and the relationship between the two. That's how you and I became acquainted. I became a patient of yours all the way back in 1991. And what you told me then is what I still follow today, and it's what I believe. But there was an article, a really snarky article, that was a publication of the Daily Beast, which is a left-wing publication, to say the least. And the article was written by Dr. Barbara Roberts, and she took a shot at you. And the article is entitled, "The Heart Association's Junk Science Diet." And she is contradicting everything that I have heard, not only from you, but from medical literature and what is generally known about the heart and about cholesterol and lipids, if you will. And I want to read just a little bit of what she wrote, because it's really kind of nasty, and I want to give you a chance to respond to it. She said, "Science shows the low-fat diet to be," and then she used a dirty word, "and yet the American Heart Association keeps touting it as the heart-healthy choice. Why? The quick answer, money, honey. The dogma that saturated fat causes heart disease is crumbling. A recent Cambridge University analysis of 76 studies involving more than 850,000 people concluded, quote, the current evidence does not clearly support guidelines that are recommended low consumption of total saturated fats. Yet the American Heart Association, in its most recent dietary guidelines, held fast to the idea that we must all eat low-fat diets for optimal heart health. It's a stance that, at the very best, is controversial and, at worst, is dead wrong. As a practicing cardiologist for more than three decades, I agree with the latter. It's dead wrong. Why does the AHA, American Heart Association, cling to the recommendations that fly in the face of scientific evidence?" She goes on with more information, quote-unquote, like that. But then she ends with this. Dr. Eckel describes himself as, quote, a scientist and professing six-day creationist and a member of the Technology Advisory Board of the Institute of Creation Research, end quote. Most scientists are religious. This is not to question Dr. Eckel's religious beliefs, but to question his ability to think scientifically. He believes there is scientific proof that the world was created in 6 days and that evolution does not exist. This should at least raise eyebrows when the co-chair of the influential panel charged with giving scientifically sound dietary advice has a financial conflict of interest and proselytizes for beliefs that are anti-scientific. There are four more paragraphs here that I won't take the time to read. I think it's only fair that you have an opportunity
to answer her.
On Family Talk. It's doubtful that she's going to be listening, but maybe she will be.
For the record, I ask you if you would like to respond to this, and you said you would.
Yes, I'm happy to respond. First of all, she obviously didn't read the guideline very carefully, because the American Heart Association for over 20 years has not recommended a low-fat diet. It's continued to recommend reductions in saturated fat. And I think that allows me to open the door to the process that we recently culminated in the lifestyle guideline. And by the way, I also served on the cholesterol guideline committee. But to cut to the chase here, the government periodically updates guidelines for hypertension, for obesity, and for cholesterol in terms of cardiovascular disease risk reduction. And so as part of that process, we were beginning what we called ATP4, which would have been the fourth set of cholesterol guidelines for Americans to reduce their risk for cardiovascular disease. I was asked to co-chair a lifestyle work group, and that lifestyle work group dealt with two aspects of lifestyle, nutrition and physical activity. We didn't deal with weight loss. That was the job of the obesity panel. So part of our evaluation was to look at things that we do with our lifestyle, including nutrition and physical activity, that impact risk for cardiovascular disease. And for nutrition, it was mostly, you know, macronutrient composition, in other words, fat, carbohydrate, and protein. We looked at sodium in terms of blood pressure. We looked at potassium for blood pressure. And then we looked at the types of fats and types of carbohydrates, simple sugars, complex carbohydrates like starches. Then we looked at fats, both polyunsaturated fat, vegetable oils, monounsaturated fats, mostly found in vegetable oils, and saturated fat, which is typically the type you find in dairy products and ultimately are in fast foods or the types of fats that are associated with good shelf life. And, you know, donuts and pastries and cakes and all that have a lot of saturated fat. It's what hardens the dough. So to look at the evidence, we examined how diets that were composed of various types of fatty acids impacted bad cholesterol or LDL, the one we want to get down to reduce the risk for heart disease. So we came up with substantial evidence that people who eat less saturated fat have a lower LDL cholesterols. We did not say that saturated fat causes heart disease. We in fact said if you eat less saturated fat, you have a lower bad cholesterol, which is good. So that's what the report said. We did not say that saturated fat caused heart disease. So that's another comment that she made, which was incorrect scientifically. And so then to go on, then blame the AHA for representing a low-fat diet, I alluded to that earlier. They haven't been there for two decades plus. And I was part of the nutrition committee beginning in the mid-1990s going forward.
Yeah.
So she's incorrect on that point too. Now, the other thing that bothered me more, I was not personally injured by this in terms of the comments of my faith. Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. And I simply was embarrassed for the American Heart Association because they have to deal with one of their volunteers. I don't get paid by the AHA. I simply am a volunteer. And all of us scientists and physicians who really volunteer for the AHA get no income based on the time we spend with them. And so I had the privilege of serving as their president, despite the fact that I'm not even a cardiologist. I'm kind of a preventive cardiologist in the way I think and practice medicine. But anyway, the idea that the AHA would have to be embarrassed by me being a believer really bothered me, not the personal comment to me in terms of its injurious nature. So the AHA did a wonderful job, I think, responding to this. And if you go to the Daily Beast that followed this, they did respond, I think, in a very judicious and appropriate manner. And I was thankful for that, but I wish they hadn't had to go through that time.
Well, her comments about you are hostile. That's not a sign. She talked about science. What she wrote in that concluding portion there is not science absence of science. It has nothing to do with science. It has to do with faith.
Well, let's go to that issue, Jim. I think the faith of evolution is no different than the faith in creation. I got a big enough God that in 6 days he can do whatever he wants, and he can create heavens and earth in 6 days. My faith is placed in creation. And the reason my faith is placed in creation is because I see what a lousy sinner I am. And the Son of God died for my sin and that of the entire world. Mm. And because I believe in the cross and everything that it's worth, I can accept God and other things that he's revealed in his word. So my faith is placed in creation, not in evolution. And by the way, both of these methods of formation, of planets and species, et cetera, are experiments never to be repeated. So you're going to have to put your faith in one or the other. And my faith is simply in creation. And what the AHA did in their response was say, does it make any difference what color Ty Echo wears? or what type of faith he has, or in fact what TV shows he watches. No, it doesn't make any difference. He's volunteering based on his scientific credibility. And so I thank the AHA for that, because they didn't ask me to come on board because I was a creation scientist. They asked me to come on board because of my work in nutrition and cardiovascular disease. And
so, I listed your credentials at the start of the program both yesterday and today because I wanted people to see the areas of medicine that you're involved in and have been for many years. Having seen how the human body works in so many dimensions like this, can you tell me why so many learned scientists and physicians look at that and don't see the connection to the Creator? That all of this developed without a design or designer? You know, I injured my foot. I fell off a stage and injured my foot several years ago. And I went to a physician who X-rayed it, and while I was waiting for the results, he had a plastic model of the foot. And I just held that thing and looked at it. The number of bones that interact and where they're located and how they all function, how they hold this weight up. Mine a little more than some other people. And I just marveled at what God has done here. You've seen that same thing throughout the human body. What's your take on it?
Well, all I can say is, as a scientist now, and also as a physician, I think the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. Mm-hmm. And the complexity of human existence is beyond belief. This just didn't occur by happenstance over millions and millions of years. My belief is that we're created each after its own kind, and we reflect the image of God, both physically and spiritually. And it's a very special view. And I'm not in a position to needing to convince the scientific community, but I can stand on my own faith because that's where the Lord has me. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord, has mentioned there are three ways to reach him, and it's a stepwise process. Creation, as we look about us or within us.
You see it.
You see it. And then God gives every man a conscience. And although conscience can be influenced by culture and ethnicity and other things, ultimately there is a conscience in every man. That's the omnipresent Spirit of God.
You're quoting then, Romans 1 in both those instances.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The third C, creation, conscience, and Christ. And, you know, the cross is the path to salvation and the only way. And because of my belief in a risen Lord, I can accept creation by faith.
There are controversies throughout medicine. You can find pretty much whatever you want. I know that from my time at Children's Hospital. And so it's not unusual at all for learned people to say to one another, I don't agree with you on there. Hmm. But here, what we have in that last portion, which was so personal to you, was not just disagreement. It was anger. Mm-hmm. We can all feel
irritation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like the fact that you believe what you believe. How dare you be involved as a scientist and making scientific decisions and believing all that religious nonsense?
You know? Right.
Let's go back to where we started on this article and what she had to say about a low-fat diet causing heart disease. You said that has never been the position taken.
Well,
but you still should eat a healthy diet that, in your view, ought to be very low in saturated fat.
Correct. Our dietary recommendations are pretty straightforward and they're kind of repetitive, but lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of whole grains, lean poultry and fish, legumes, nuts, and other forms of fiber. So what we emphasize based on the evidence is dietary patterns. And patterns are not individual foods. I hate when people say good foods and bad foods. I have a medium rare steak once a month, but I don't have it three times a week. Once a month. I have ice cream and birthday cake at a birthday party for my granddaughter.
Wash your mouth out. It's so but I haven't eaten a big bowl of ice cream in 24 years because of guys like you.
Well, no, but what I'm saying, though, an occasional use of those types of foods, it doesn't ruin an overall heart healthy diet. Mm-hmm. So that's what we tried to emphasize, dietary patterns, getting ownership for lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of whole grains, lean poultry and fish, and like foods.
Mm. And you made reference there to dough and such things as donuts and and that sort of thing.
Historically,
Okay.
Saturated fat.
The problem is that it has a lot of saturated fat in it. Necessarily so?
Pretty much so. And when and then the trans fat story came to be. And the trans fat is just another type of fat that makes oils hard. They harden at room temperature. But the trans fat proved themselves to be equally as injurious in terms of bad cholesterol as saturated fat. So then the food industry really took a step back and now have modified their foods by eliminating trans fat from most packaged foods. However, what are they substituting? And it's back to saturated fat again. So
really?
You have to be careful by reading food labels. That's an important instruction to my patients when I see them.
Mothers read a lot of food labels, and I read food labels, and there are more and more labels on them. You know, heart healthy. This is heart healthy. This is bad cholesterol. This is good cholesterol. And, you know, and it's hard for a lot of mothers out there to know what they can believe. Healthy choice soups.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for moms who are out there trying to do the best they can feeding their children healthy?
Well, I think to begin with the components of a heart-healthy diet that really need to be reemphasized and given to children when they're growing up. There's an ownership for a heart-healthy diet that can begin in childhood and carried throughout adult years. We've seen it in our own family.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred through my late wife's cancer, because once she got cancer, she decided we're not eating as well as we should be. That was before I was even on board for the type of nutritional pattern we're currently using. So anyway, emphasis on fruits and vegetables and whole grains and limited amounts of saturated fat and trans fat. That's the message. Nuts are a great snack. Legumes should be consumed liberally because a good source of fiber. So I think emphasizing the heart-healthy components that are part of a dietary pattern that we considered heart-healthy.
So you're still talking about staying on the outside of the grocery store.
Yeah, that's pretty much
true. You
know,
where the fresh things are in nuts and not the packaged things.
That's true. But I think to overly generalize is a mistake, too. I mean, is a popsicle okay once in a while? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Five popsicles a day to get, you know, a lot of simple sugar intake is not a good idea.
Right.
So I think that we need to bring reason into the diet and enjoy food. And there's a way you can enjoy food by eating really heart-healthily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are a diabetic, a type 1 diabetes.
My whole life.
Talk about the current perspective on carbohydrates, because I have to tell you, I love them. I could live without meat. I really could and not miss it a whole lot. But give me spaghetti and potatoes and corn and rice and bread and those things. And you hurt me bad when that happens. For a person that does not have diabetes in their immediate family, is a low carbohydrate diet to be recommended?
No, it's not. The only time a low carbohydrate diet would be really considered a serious decision.
If you do not have that predisposition to diabetes, what's the harm in sugar?
Well, I think if you look at a heart-healthy diet, which is the type of diet I just explained, there's not a lot of room for a lot of simple sugars there if you're going to maintain your weight. Now, keep in mind, we need to talk about the quality of the diet and the quantity of diet as two related but separate things, because you can overeat carbohydrate and gain weight. That was one of the criticisms of the old American Heart Association diet of being fat restricted, because people started eating low-fat foods, but they overate them, and that was carbohydrate. But do we blame carbohydrate? No, we blame the whole nutritional message that was transmitted by low-fat diets. And the original explanation for a low-fat diet is eating less saturated fat. Now that message has been clarified, and that in part is the lifestyle report that John Jakicic at Pittsburgh and I did recently. John did the exercise and I did the nutrition end.
Specifically, does ingestion of sugar, in addition to causing weight gain, does that lead to diabetes? Does that wear out the system?
You could say that someone who has a susceptibility to developing type 2 diabetes, in fact, could in fact have their insulin-producing cells worn down by a lot of simple sugar ingestion. But you can also find evidence from epidemiologic studies looking at populations that get diabetes that high-fat diets can result in diabetes, and that's through a different mechanism. So the point is, I think we, in terms of carbohydrate, complex carbohydrates the way to go, not a lot of simple sugars. So we're talking about starches and potato and pasta and things like that, but you can't overeat.
Yeah.
Because if you overeat, you gain weight.
Yeah,
but
that's
has carbohydrate caused, has carbohydrate caused the weight gain? No, it's the fact you're overeating.
Yeah.
Dr. Meeker, to your question about what mothers are told and so on, how do you all feel about having a beautiful big chocolate cake on a birthday for a five-year-old?
Well, I think let's ask the pediatrician, but it would seem to me a birthday's a special event, and it's not, you know, every week or every month. It's once a year, and I think those kinds of exceptions don't make that a good food or a bad food. It makes it a birthday cake on a birthday. But I'd be interested in Dr. Meeker's opinion.
I completely agree, because my philosophy has always been just a little bit of everything, and to eat real foods, not fake foods. I'd rather...
Didn't Paul say moderation in all things?
Yeah, and I've lived my life that way, and I've never really had a weight issue. You know, I eat real salad dressing, or I make my salad dressing, not the low fat, and eat real butter instead of, you know, the stuff that comes in a tub, because I find it's much more satisfying. And I think that what I'm against with children is when you severely restrict certain foods, it causes them to want them more. So I think a birthday cake periodically, a cookie here and there is perfectly fine, but not on a daily basis. And I also feel that we need to get back to respecting food as a gift. And I think one of the trends that I see in a lot of families is kids snack constantly, because parents are constantly worried about hypoglycemia. And, oh, they have, every time a child is irritable, oh, his sugar's low. So they hand him something. I say, no, he's just irritable, you know. And quit feeding your children all the time, because feeding for mothers is a very emotional issue. And I think some of the most stressed mothers I see are mothers of babies who aren't thriving well, who have, they can't absorb their calories, they have chronic diarrhea or chronic vomiting or something, because a mother feels, at least if I can get my child to grow, then I'm covering the most basic mothering successes that I can, you know. So that's, you know, a psychological thing. But I think that to rein them in and to teach children, you know, one serving of everything and, you know, have the one rule, one plate of something, and you don't need to snack four times a day. And I think that's kind of grilled in them often at school, you know, snack time.
You know, in my my training in child development, I had to teach school for 2 years. I learned more about child development as a teacher than I ever did in a classroom.
Sure.
Those were very enlightening years. And I started out as a sixth grade teacher and then went into junior high and then high school. You know what the worst day of the year was?
What?
As a teacher, the day after Halloween,
oh,
when those kids brought home sacks of chocolate and candy and all this stuff, and they tried to hide it and bring it to school the next day, and they'd hold a paper up in front of their face, and I can see the ears moving and hear the crinkle of paper, and the kids were wild.
Yeah,
they really were. I took my whole class one day outside. And I said, you see that fence a block away?
Yeah.
Run down there and run back to try to burn that off, because they were saturated to the ears, literally, with sugar. So, you know, moderation, right? Is that
right.
The watchword?
Well, I think, again, we have evidence of what a heart-healthy diet looks like in terms of salt content and also saturated and trans fat. So I think, and again, that's a dietary pattern. I think that's the thing we need to emphasize. It's the overall kind of menu that you're offering day in and day out. That doesn't mean it's boring. There's a lot of creativity you can have with a
Dr.
diet.
Dr. Meeker, you see why I like this man,
don't
you?
Absolutely. I just want to hear him listen and get a tip.
I call that fairly boring, actually.
Thanks
delightful.
For being our guest
good,
again,
Dr. Dobson.
And
always good to be with you.
We will do it again if you'll come back down.
Absolutely, and remember, there are new cholesterol guidelines out. They're very controversial, but
are they?
They're evidence based. But right.
And what do I need to know in 20 seconds?
Well, I think the thing that's most controversial is not using goals for treatment of cholesterol, just using certain evidence-based recommendations for statin therapy versus not. Keep in mind, with a heart-healthy lifestyle, underseeding
it takes
all of
care
this.
Of that.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks for being our guest, and Margaret is sitting over there quietly. This is a very bright lady. One of these days we're going to get her on
here. Yeah, you should. And I'll not be in the room when she's speaking.
Thank you both for coming.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the conclusion of our program on marijuana here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about Dr. Echol or the Ministry of Family Talk, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.